John chapter 3, we're going to read the first 7 verses. Tonight we're going to talk about the new birth, being born again at salvation. John chapter 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Notice those words, born again. Mark those words, we'll come back to them. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? By the way, he would be born a man again. He wouldn't choose his own gender. Jesus saith, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Verse number 6, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, little s. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, twice in this passage you see the statement, born again, John chapter 3. In verse number 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. In that which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Notice there's two different spirits there. Capital S, small s. Now, Nicodemus was a ruler and a Pharisee of the Jews. He was a very intellectual man. He would be smarter than anybody in D.C., but he wanted to know more about Jesus and the message he preached, but he didn't want anybody to know he was going to go talk to him. The Pharisees were in direct opposition to Jesus. But the message of what Jesus was preaching had reached Nicodemus, and Nicodemus wanted to know more about it. Now, that's why he came to him by night. And Nicodemus said, I know that thou art come from God, because no man could do what you do except he was sent from God. Now, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he needs to be born again. This is probably one of the most misused terms in our country today. You got athletes that get on national television who won't go to church saying, oh, I've been born again. You got movie whores and whoremongers that get up and talk about being born again, and yet they wouldn't darken the door of a church or read the right Bible. I'm not saying they're not saved, but just to throw that term around is not wise. Religious people say it and don't even know what it means. People live like a devil, say, well, I've been born again, and they don't even know what it means. So what does it mean to be born again scripturally? Nicodemus was confused, but Jesus clears it up here in John chapter 3. I'm going to make a statement here you don't hear made very often. Nowhere does it say that Nicodemus ever did get saved. I can't tell you he did. I can't tell you he didn't. We find nowhere in Scripture that it says that Nicodemus got saved. I have no idea. By the way, I'm not judging. I'm just letting you know, just because Jesus said it doesn't mean he did it. It wasn't up to what Jesus said. It was up to Nicodemus to do what was said. You see, I have no idea. The truth does not change no matter who receives it or who rejects it. Truth is truth no matter who gives it or who rejects it. Do you know a Catholic priest that gets up and reads the gospel to somebody, somebody could get saved? And that Catholic priest could die and go to hell? It's not the messenger, it's the message. That's why people that say, well, you have to live a certain way or God's not going to, it's not you, it's the message. We have to understand something. The message is far more important than the messenger. And that's very important. Now, let me give you about, how many things did I write down here? I have 4, but I think I had number 3 twice, so 5 things. Can't even figure out my own writing here. Number 1, Being born again means being born anew. The word again in the Greek literally means from the first or from the beginning. It doesn't mean to be born a second time. It literally means that you were born from the beginning. You say, what does that mean? We get the eternal genetics of God when we get saved. We get eternal life. We get regened or regenerated. Now, that means this. This is an interesting statement. Did you know the moment, Brother Josh, stand up for a second. Here's a dirty, wicked, filthy, rotten, no good, scum of the earth, low down sinner. Amen. He plays that part very, very, very well. Remember back in the Garden of Eden, God made man after his own image? Was he made with sin?
No.
So in the beginning, man was made sinless, correct? But man sinned.
Yes.
For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all for all that have sinned.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. When a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good, scum of the earth sinner gets saved, he gets born again. Spiritually, he is just like God made man in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
As he was from the beginning. That is exactly what being born again is. Thank you. You can go back to your seat, you dirty, rotten sinner. That means this: in God's eyes, the moment you get saved, you're sinless. In God's eyes, you're eternally his. You have a body, a soul, and a spirit because you have been born again by the Spirit of God. Before that, you're just a body and a soul. When you get saved, the spirit is born, John chapter 3, verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again to be as you were from the beginning so that God can see you from the beginning. That is what being born again is. It doesn't mean, it means that the beginning is born in you. It is though you were from the beginning. Now, being saved allows us to fellowship with God like we did, like man was able to in the beginning. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. First book of the Bible, Brother Scott. Yeah, just trying to help you. Yeah. Yeah, both of us have. It's okay, Brother Steve still can't find it. Genesis chapter 2. You're the one still turning pages. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it, to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, notice he's talking to the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt and eat of, for in the day thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it's good, not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. We could read all the way down through verse 25. We find here God and man talking. Listen to this statement. God didn't throw us on this earth and say, go figure it out for yourself, y'all.
That's right.
We weren't cavemen. Man didn't discover fire. God taught him how to build a fire. Man didn't discover oil. God told him what oil was, where to get it, how to get it. I'm going to surprise you. Did you know that they were mining iron, steel, gold, silver, and building things with it prior to the flood? People didn't live in stone houses. It wasn't like Barney and Fred Flintstone. All right? I hate to disappoint you. I'm not totally convinced that the ark was all made of wood. I believe there were steel reinforcements and metal reinforcements everywhere. I believe they had nails. You say, why is that, preacher? I went to the Ark Encounter, and I saw everything with wooden dowel rods. wooden dowel rods in a boat. I hate to disappoint you with that kind of, for a year, is going to cause an awful lot of problems. It's going to fall apart. Now, I believe the outside was made of gopher wood. That is a true statement. But it doesn't mean that all of it was not reinforced with other things. Man was given knowledge how to run the earth, how to take care of it. They knew where to get gold. Isn't it amazing how much gold they had? Well, where do you find gold? You don't pan for gold everywhere. It's got to be mined. Brass, silver, all these things, they're down in the earth and you have to dig for them and find them. Then you have to melt it. Then you have to refine it. Wonder where they learned that. So all of those things were from the beginning. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, "Where art thou?" God walked in the garden daily to talk to Adam and Eve and answer their questions about the earth and the animals and all the things they had to do. And one day God came and they weren't there and he said, "Where are you?" "Well, we're hiding because of sin." You see, when there was no sin, God and man were able to have fellowship together. So from the beginning, God and man had fellowship. Sin broke that fellowship. That means by being born again, the fellowship can be restored. So being born again puts us like we were from the beginning so that man and God can fellowship. Say, how is that? By the Spirit. See, man without a spirit cannot communicate with God, but once man has a spirit, he has the ability to communicate with God. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's good.
So when God put into man a spirit at salvation by being born again, we now have the ability to communicate with God. My body and my soul can communicate with you. It's only by the Holy Spirit that I can communicate to God. Say, well, I can talk to him. Yes, but it's through your spirit, not just your voice. Now, due to sin, we have prayer, the Bible, and church. Prior to it, God came down and talked to man. With the completion of that book, God quit speaking in dreams, visions, and verbally. He had spoken every word necessary for man to live once the Bible was complete. "Oh, I had a dream, preacher." Well, you probably had bad pizza before you went to bed. Well, what does this dream mean? Absolutely nothing. It means you had a dream. Daniel interpreted dreams. Yes, prior to the completion of the Word of God. Once the Word of God was completed, God stopped speaking in dreams, visions, and in verbally to man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He gave us every word necessary. So, being born again means being born from the beginning, being born anew like you were at the beginning. Not when you were first born, but when man was first created from the beginning. Number two, the new birth is not a change of nature. Let me say that again. The new birth is not a change of your nature. Our old nature is not changed into a new nature by getting born again. You don't lose the old sinful nature when you get saved. Unfortunately. That's why you can't judge somebody being saved by how they live, because they still have an old nature. And you can't get saved by your old nature because it's sinful. Your works will not get you saved. I don't care how good you are. We still have our old sinful nature as a saved person. That is why we cannot be sinless. But may I say this? Hey, dirty rotten sinner, when you're done writing there, I need to stand back up for a second. This dirty, filthy, rotten, scum of the earth sinner, when he got saved, watch this, he was born again like he was from the beginning of the world. But watch this. God also forgave his sins. He redeemed him. He regenerated him. But watch this. He also imputed the righteousness of Christ to his account.
That's good.
So that when God sees a saved person, he sees the righteousness of Christ, not your filthy sin. The sin is under the blood, but the righteousness necessary came by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ by getting born again. As you were from the beginning. With all the righteousness necessary to live. Thank you. Now that you're saved, you can go sit down again. We say people struggle to stay alive. No, God made your body to live forever. God made you to live forever. The struggle is the sin.
Yes.
Dying's not real hard, but the body doesn't want to give up because it was made to live forever. It's doing what it was made to do. It is amazing how far down the human body can go and still live. It really is. It's amazing how much abuse we can give this old body, and it still hangs in there. So the new birth does not change your nature. It doesn't change the old nature into a new one. It puts you back in standing with God from the beginning, and you get a new nature, but it doesn't change the old one. It's still there. Number three, the new birth is not the start of a new nature. Now watch this. God does not start a new nature in us when we get saved. When we get saved, the one who was from the beginning enters into us by the Holy Spirit. So we now get the Holy Spirit, who is God, who was present at the beginning. He who was from the beginning enters us.
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit enters us. Look at Genesis chapter 1. That's back there on page 1 again. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Wow. Notice he put both genders. We were created in his likeness, body, soul, and spirit, not in gender. Did you catch that? It says in his likeness, not in his sameness. My son is a lot like me, but he's not me, for the which we're both glad. Now, wait a minute. He is much like me in some ways, but are we the same? No. So we were created in God's likeness, but he didn't make robots. He didn't make us to be single gendered. That's weird. That's what liberalism wants. Well, we all have to be the same. We all have to be equal. No, they want unification. That is Nazi, fascist, communist, socialist tactic. That is not what God said. God said, I'll make you in my likeness. I will be like him. Now watch this. When we get saved, we get the divine nature of God put into us. He doesn't remake our nature. He puts his divine, eternal, godly nature in us by the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Notice capital C. That's a specific person, correct?
Correct.
Well, we know the comforter is who? The Holy Spirit, right? That he may abide with you. How long?
Forever.
Does it say till the end of your life?
No.
No, it says forever, eternally, everlastingly. Look at verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That Comforter, that Holy Spirit, is the divine nature of God, that when you get born again, our spirit is born by his Spirit. He dwells in us, abides in us, and we actually get the new nature, or the nature of God in us, to live forever. Look at John chapter 3, verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Look at verse number 5. He says it in verse 5 the same way, just with different words. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. Notice water is small, Spirit is capitalized. Okay, everybody look at me for a second. I'll be appropriate. When a child is born from a mother, what has to be broken first? The water. That is a fleshly birth. It is not baptism. People say, well, you gotta be saved and baptized before you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, 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 no. That water birth is not a spiritual thing. It is a physical birth. If you're not born, you can't be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
Hate to disappoint you. Now, a child that dies in the womb goes to heaven. We know that. But they're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit regeneticizes, regenes us, regenerates us spiritually. He then dwells in us. He lives inside us. By the way, he is God, so he was from the beginning.
Yes.
Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Boy, this is good stuff. Amen, preacher. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now watch this. Look at verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's about somebody being saved, correct?
Amen.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. That word creature is literally the word creation, which means from the beginning. Now watch this. Old things are passed away. What term do we use to someone who dies? They what? Huh. So we die to our flesh, and we have to pass away our flesh and our sinful nature for the new nature. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to read all the way down through there. But we are new creatures or new creations, and we are as we were from the beginning because of this new creation, because of the holy genetics of God being in us by the Holy Spirit of God, and we are as from the beginning. I'm not going to fight over this. But when somebody gets saved, Jesus does not move into their heart. The Holy Spirit does. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. It is the Holy Spirit of God who indwells every believer, that new birth that's been given to us so that we are as from the beginning, so that we have a new nature, the divine nature of God in us.
Yes.
It's not that you get a new nature, you get the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to obey him, not our flesh.
Right.
Number four. Because the saved has two natures, this is the battle of the Christian life. Do you ever wonder what the battle of the Christian life is? It's the battle of whether I listen to the Holy Spirit or listen to my sinful flesh. My old nature or the nature of God. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Oh, this is a fun chapter. Romans chapter 7. Don't worry, I'll get you out on time. Look at verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. Sound familiar? If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more that I do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Sound like your Christian life to you? Man, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't feel like doing it. And I can reason with myself that I need to go to work instead of going to church. I'd rather be doing this than go soul winning. And I really know I need to read my Bible, but I got to get caught up on this and I got to get caught up on that. And I don't have time to pray, but I'll make up for it later and it'll be okay. God will understand. And we reason this out with ourselves. And that which we should not do, we do. And that which we should do, we do not do. That's the battle of the old nature, the new nature. Verse 25 says, when we do that which we should, it's of the law, the new nature. When we obey the flesh, it's by sin. It's real simple. So it's the same battle in deciding if we obey God or if we play God and decide what we should do. Remember what happened in Genesis chapter 3? Oh, you could be like gods, knowing good and evil. You could decide good and evil for yourself. You can decide what God said. No, God said it, that settles it, period. It used to be a statement back in the 70s. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Wrong. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not.
Yes, sir.
Hate to disappoint you. I don't care who believes it, who disbelieves it. God said it, that settles it. So, let me review real quickly here. Being born again means being born anew or from the beginning. The new birth is not a change of nature. The new birth is not the start of a new nature. It is the nature of God being put into you. Then, because the saved has two natures, this is the battle of the Christian life. Number four, and I'll finish. Being born again gives us a divine nature. We cannot make our sinful nature become divine. You can't turn sinfulness into sinlessness. Did you hear that? You can't take something that has been sinful and turn it into something that is sinless. Because the very nature of sin taints it to where it cannot be purified all the way. If I filled that bottle with the most deadly poison known to man, and then I empty it out and I fill it with water, who's going to take a drink? Well, what if I keep rinsing it out? Who's going to use that bottle and drink water out of it? Why? Because it had poison in it, right? You can't ever get all of it out, can you? Guess what? You can't clean all of yourself up either. You can't get enough sin out of your life to be sinless. Impossible. That's why works salvation does not work.
Right.
Turn to John chapter 3. We were there. Whoops, I was already there. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Verse number 6. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now look at me. I love you, but let me help you with something. If you believe you can lose your salvation when you get saved, you're believing that your works are going to keep you saved. In other words, you're believing your works will get you saved. You can't lose your salvation. I can't be unborn. I was born May 23rd, 1967 to my dad and my mom. Guess what? Yeah, shut up. That was a long time ago. I know. It's all right. My dad was born in 1939, so don't get too upset here. Now, wait a minute. I can't be unborn. I could disappoint him. I could do good. I could do bad. I could try to have my good outweigh the bad. I could try to build the family name. I could bring reproach to the family name. But either way, I can't be unborn from my parents, correct? When you get saved spiritually, you can't get unborn, which means you didn't do anything to get it. You know, I had absolutely nothing to do with my birth. I was there, but that was it. I had nothing to do with it. You have nothing to do with getting saved other than trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
It's not a matter of works. Turn to John chapter 1. I love this. Verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I want you to notice something. But as many as received him. Does it say as many as did it with their whole heart? No, you received it. As many that did it and got baptized and lived a certain way so that everybody knew that they did it.
Nope.
No, it says, but as many as received him. Did you know you can receive something and nobody else has to know you received it?
Sure.
How many of you got mail this week? Even junk mail? Some may not even know that you got it, but you received it. You see, it's not a matter of everybody else knowing. It's a matter of you receiving it. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be what? The sons of God. That power is the dunamis. It is the Holy Spirit of God in us. A power that is generated from the beginning for us. Notice it says even to them that believe on his name. Not even to them that live right. That which were not born of the blood, nor the will of the flesh. That statement, will of the flesh. Well, I can will myself to do good and then I will be sinless. No, you will not. Because it's in your flesh. Well, I had a feeling. It was all the Holy Ghost gave me a feeling. You'll never see the word feeling or any emotion attached to the Holy Spirit anywhere in Scripture.
Right.
Nowhere. I hate to disappoint you. So, man's religion works for salvation. And it is man trying to convert his old nature into a divine nature by his own works. That is impossible. You cannot convert your old nature into a sinless nature on your own. You need the Holy Spirit of God to give you a new nature. Wait a minute, this one's still there. But you can't clean that one up to be that one. If I came in here with COVID and started coughing around, drinking out of my bottle, who's going to drink after me? He says, no, I want a new one, preacher. Yeah, I'm not doing it even though I had it. Now, wait a minute. You say, that's just ridiculous, preacher. Then why are you trying to clean up your old nature to be sinless? You can't do it. It's impossible. It's been infected by sin. No matter how much you clean it, no matter how much you sterilize it, it still has particles of sin in it, and you can't be good enough to get there. You have to be sinless. That's what God's talking about with being born again. Now, getting saved gives us the sinless nature from the beginning. And that's what being born again is all about. Let me say this and I'll finish. Thank God when we get saved, we get born again. We become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But guess what? You don't just get born anew, you get born from the beginning. And in God's eyes, that's why in the book of 1 John, it talks about that to the saved, it's as though God does not see any sin, as though we have not sinned, because he sees us from the beginning. It's been washed away, it's been forgiven, it's been redeemed, it's been born again from the beginning because we have the Holy Spirit of God in there, and that is the divine nature of God in us. We are then as God wanted us to be in the beginning. I don't know if Nicodemus got saved. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says he did, but I can't find anywhere in Scripture that says he didn't either. I don't know. I do know this. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that was given to Nicodemus. But I think if you keep reading, you'll find out nothing's ever said about what he did. It's not the person who receives it. It was the message itself that was important. It wasn't the dirty, nasty phone call from Brother Juan and Brother Josh out soul winning today. I'm teasing. A lady threatened to call the police. Let him call. He said, preacher, you might get a phone call. I said, it's okay. I've had them before. He said, well, the police might call. I said, if they do, they're going to laugh about it because there's nothing they can do about it. Well, these people have an HOA. Okay. Do you know what an HOA does? It means the people in there have to live by the rules. Nobody from the outside does. I hate to disappoint you. we have an HOA. I'm glad you do. I'm glad you pay your dues. But guess what? I don't live there. I don't have to live by it. We'll call the police. Go ahead. You want their number? 911. Go ahead. I can even help you dial it. You want my phone? I've been stopped by the police house winning so many times, it's hilarious. I went to the police station one day because this lady was really coming unscrewed on us. And I went to the police station, filed a report against this lady because she was really getting vehement. This guy says, is she demon-possessed or what? I said, I don't know, but I'm getting out ahead of it so that just in case something happens, you have it on record that we stopped here first to let you know what was going on. He said, you're different. I said, it might be. He said, yeah, but that's why your church is growing and nobody else is, and theirs is dying. He said, I wish we had more preachers like you. I said, you need to come to my church. Wait a minute. He said, what is that? Does that make you afraid, preacher? No, old nature, new nature. We're being born again. Our message shouldn't change because somebody's upset. We give the truth no matter what. We don't have to be ugly about it. We don't have to be mean about it. Let's just get the word out and see as many people get born again as we can. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We ought to take inventory of our own salvation and thank God that we have been born again. Let me ask you a question. Are you living by your old nature or the new nature? That battle you face in your Christian life, it's not about whether you want to be saved or not. It's a matter of, do you want to live by the old nature or the new nature? It's not hard making spiritual decisions. You got the Holy Spirit of God in you. Let's just do it.